Welcome to the Critical Few Actions to Improve Your Business podcast. I'm John Downes, and I'm here to help you cut through the overwhelm and prioritize what matters most to improve your business. Let's get started and discover the critical few actions that have the biggest impact. Welcome to the Critical Few Actions to Improve Your Business podcast. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Paris Singer, who is CEO of Fluid Branding, who are dedicated to build better brands that build better businesses. I've known Paris since 2021, when he first joined Fluid and subsequently acquired the business. Paris, welcome.
John, good to see you. Thank you. I'm looking forward to the chat.
So Paris, you've had quite the entrepreneurial journey. Tell me about your first startup and how did that set you on the path towards where you are today, running a branding business for some of Australia's best known brands?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think it has an interesting start, but yes, I guess in some people's eyes it is. I've actually been entrepreneurial in having two businesses before I was 30. One in the space that I'm still playing in now, which is obviously in branding and creative execution. And another one where I was part of a team that built a online media portal back in the late 90s. Both were fantastic experiences. I started my first business at the age of 22, 23 called Procreation. It was probably more out of necessity than it was through design, early 90s, recession, et cetera. I couldn't get a job in the industry that I had known for quite some time I wanted to get into. Got a loan from my parents to buy some computers, went into business with a mate. And my mum and dad said at the time, well, we'll never see that money again. Kiss that goodbye. We managed to win a serious piece of business as our first client, which was Crown Casino back in the day, which was
wow.
Paid my parents back off in 6 weeks. Couldn't believe it. I had that business for about 6 or 7 years. And then eventually that dissolved through time and wanting to look at other things and other opportunities. One of those opportunities was an online media portal trading business called Excess Media, which started as a business plan. We managed to successfully get some venture capital of some serious US funding, built a website that was well before its time. You look back at it today and you go, my God, what a crazy endeavor it was. But again, it was the experience. Learned a lot of things, good, bad, and otherwise. And yeah, but look, both have always been, I've always had an interest. I always knew that I was going to be working in the creative fields, in marketing, even in secondary school, but always with a commercial lens, I should say. Always had a thing for numbers. I've always enjoyed that side of business. But I've always had more of a leaning towards that creative endeavor. So finding that right mix, that right balance was something that I always strive to do.
Brilliant. And in both those startup businesses, what would be the top three learnings as you now look back on that experience?
I'd say not all revenue is good revenue.
Yeah.
That's something I think of quite often back in the day. You know, you were chasing business. Any business was business worth having, right?
Yeah,
money in was good to have, but I've learned lessons since and in that time that, yeah, maybe that's not necessarily the right way to go. Business development is obviously not optional. It is all day, every day. It's great to have money coming in, projects coming in, work coming in, clients coming in, et cetera. But if you're focused more on service and delivery and not on where feeding the pipeline, you're going to eventually run into dry, run into some trouble. And look, I suppose the third would be really clear on what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
And what service you're offering. Make sure you've got a predefined understanding. I've learned that the hard way because I wasn't doing that at the time. I know well and truly I was here, there and everywhere. But I think being clear, knowing what is your why, how you go about it, et cetera, what your client or potential client, what it is that they're actually looking for, what needs they need serviced, being able to deliver on that successfully, earning that trust, repeat business, et cetera.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting as you were talking about both those businesses, it reminded me of last week I was presenting to entrepreneurial students at Swinburne University one of the questions that I was asked in a panel discussion was about, you know, what would you say is one of the most important things when you're starting a startup? And my response there was, find a paying client.
Yeah, it's a good start.
Well, so it sort of sounds pretty obvious from a revenue perspective. It's probably even more important from the point of view of, until you've got someone who's prepared to pay something, no matter how much or how little it is, you can't actually test your idea with a paying customer. If you get friends to talk to about it, they're going to say, oh, yeah, it's fantastic, or it's crap, but they'll probably be encouraging. And that's actually sometimes the worst thing that they could possibly do. You get yourself a paying client, like, I don't know, Crown, you know, if you're going to start off small, shoot the lights out, well done. You know, there's nothing like having a paying client to give you far more value than the revenue that they give you, but actually to give you the real customer feedback on what the hell is the value that you're providing? What distinguishes you? Why are you even important to them? Mm. Why is it worth it? And sometimes it's painful, but it's the only way to really validate whether or not you've actually got a commercial business or just another good idea that would have been better if you just let it go to sleep with you when you finally fell asleep.
Absolutely. Just hearing you say that, the two words that came to mind were value and validation, and they're both absolutely fundamental to that. Commercial realities aside, but yeah, the value that I am actually bringing something to the business that is deemed by them to be worthy. And yes, and that validation obviously gives you the confidence to be able to go on, sell that value to another prospect. Yeah. I know, looking back again, but that Crown job, it's 30 years ago, whatever it is now, my God. But that was literally our first client. No word of a lie. First client for invoice number. And they couldn't believe it. They thought I was joking. But it turned to be a great relationship and also gave us the confidence to say, hey, we're working with someone that's of serious,
real credibility,
real cred. So that obviously stemmed into the next potential business and whatever opportunity. So validation is crucial, right? And you're always changing and adjusting to suit, but an incredibly important part of running a business. Absolutely. Yeah.
And also it gets your product to market. Whereas I've seen so many startups polish their turd for 12 months, 2 years, 3 months, 4 years. It never gets to market. It might have been a great idea, but actually somebody has got there faster than they have and actually has taken the marketplace. What were the major milestones that brought you to Fluid? And how did that help prepare you for acquiring the business?
Oh, look, so most of the 2010s and beyond, so most of the 2000s, I did a lot of work with a lot of brand agencies. I then spent most of the 2010s doing predominantly consultative work. What brought me to Fluid was, to be fair, I was looking for a bit more security, a bit more consistency, a bit more opportunity to bring all the things together that I'd learned into a place that was like, okay, what can I do with all of my experience, et cetera?
Yeah.
Fluid at the time been around since 2001. I knew the original founding partners, Mike and Cliff. They were both down in Torquay. The Melbourne side of the business was obviously doing a lot of the heavy lifting. They needed someone in Melbourne on the ground helping them out with that. One conversation led to another. I said I was interested in joining, but only if I had skin in the game. But I think I was realizing that I was probably outpricing myself in the industry, in the market, and was looking on borrowed time from an age and or earning capacity perspective. So, I spoke to them about buying in as a third partner, long negotiation, long valuation, long discussions, all in the right spirit, eventually came around to an agreement. What I saw in Fluid as a business was a business that had an endurance, obviously being around for 18 to 19 years by that time, good team, good credibility, good case studies, good client list, all things that ticked all the boxes, but I also saw there was an opportunity to maybe elevate that offering in a more strategic way, which is what we've probably been focusing on as a business for maybe the last 4 or 5 years, I would say now, is just being saying, hey, listen, you know, execution and creativity are obviously a big part of what we do from an output point of view, but that's not going to be enough in this day and age to keep delivering at those sort of commercial prices, the commercial realities of the business and the industry that we're in. It's all, you know, at the moment, execution is a bit of a race to the bottom. Having that higher level strategic thinking, getting a brand strategy to be more aligned with the business strategy is fundamental. And that's where we've really taken a bit of a shift in the business in more recent times.
And I guess, you know, what that really takes into account is the fact that AI is now having a massive impact on the cost of execution and the speed of execution and, frankly, everybody else's ability to execute. It's the repeat of the iPhone. Let's face it, when the iPhone came out and had a decent camera, all of a sudden everyone became a photographer.
Yeah.
And wedding photographers struggled from then onwards. As you say, the cost of execution is dropping, but that, I don't think, is affecting the value of the brand strategy and the brand strategists.
No, I totally would agree. Yeah, look, that thinking and being a partner to our clients is really important. So, you know, getting inside their business, understanding their problems, their challenges, their competitors, all of that work, fundamental, earning their trust. I think it's one of the biggest things in the business is that we are incredibly fortunate to be exposed to an array of clients across an array of sectors. We're not a specialist agency, whether that's government, corporate, SMEs, etc. And having the trust that we've earned over time by consistently displaying an understanding of their trials, their tribulations, their opportunities is a really key part of it. So, you know, it's not just saying, hey, we need X and we deliver it and goodbye. You know, we're really keen to get in bed, so to speak, with our clients and be in for the long term. And, you know, we're fortunate that we have many clients that we've had for many, many years because of that.
You know, trust is it's a privilege that is earned.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of people say, oh, yes, I'm a trusted advisor. I'm not sure that people really understand what that means. They quite often say, well, I've been working for them for a long time, so they trust me. One of the privileges of being trusted is that you're working with very bright people in your clients. The people who are driving brands or who are driving strategies in large corporates or in government, they're no dumb bunnies. The reality is they've earned their way to there. But when you've got trust with them, you've actually earned the right and the responsibility to challenge them.
Yes, yes.
And to actually say, yeah, look, I think you're heading in the right direction. That's what you want to do, but I'm not sure that that's going to get you there. Let's look at it two or three different ways. And that's where the wisdom of John and Paris comes. Anybody can walk in as a yes person and just say, oh, yes, that's a great idea, and I'll go off and do it. But most importantly, our responsibility is to share the wisdom of learned and lived experience with many, many different clients and say, hang on a tick, I'm not sure I actually agree with that, and be prepared to be uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with being uncomfortable, right? It's just a conversation or an opinion, an idea. We always say brand strategy is as much about what you don't do as what it is what you do, right? So having all options on the table is okay, but you can't do it all, whether that's from budget, whether that's resource, whatever priorities, et cetera. But competitors, what are they doing? It's all of those things, but you've got to be able to say, hey, what about this? Is that relevant? Is that important to you? Does that fit in with your business strategy? Are you looking to scale? Are you looking to other categories? It's a huge part of what we do is that thinking from a bit like the relationship you and I have. You know, you're an independent advisor, and that's something that I value greatly. And it's the same sort of thing, but we have great insight, great depth, great exposure to business leaders of all levels. Invite us into their boardroom, invite us into their office, share with us incredibly valuable, sophisticated information. And as you said, that trust has to be earned, but it's like, yeah, what do we do with that information to help them deliver on what they want to achieve, whatever that might be? And yes, everything from our point of view has a creative execution. There's an expression of that strategy. And that's not to dismiss or dilute it in any way. It's incredibly important, obviously, but it comes from a strategic point of view. And that's what's really key. It's not just creating something for the sake of.
That's an interesting point, Paris, because I think there's been a shift over the last 20 years from a brand just being a thing that is used for advertising and promotion and so on.
Yep.
Whereas now it's earned its right and its place in the boardroom and in the business strategy, in the corporate strategy going forward. How have you found that change over the last decade?
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, again, for me, going back to the early days of my career, I was a creative. I was someone that sat with, you know, was keen to sit on a computer and worry about topography and visuals and photography and illustration and all those things just because you could and create something that I like. But, you know, as I alluded to, I also had a flair or an acumen for business. So in that career, there's clearly been a huge shift in, okay, show me the thinking. Well, I need an ROI. Why am I going to invest in this, whatever it might be? So brand strategy has obviously evolved a lot in that time. We've got a lot smarter. We've got a lot more insights. We've got a lot more research at our disposal to be able to put things into context that actually have some real understanding, as you mentioned, at that C-suite level, being able to speak on a business sort of language with them to say, you know, there's going to be short-term pain for long-term gain, for example. You know, there's brand strategy that is takes years and takes discipline versus short-term sales activation sort of work. The two go hand in hand. You can't have one or the other. And I think that's been also a bit of a fundamental shift in that time frame, sales activation work, whatever that might be, right? You know, we're driving hard to get something. That's all well and good, but we also need to be thinking brand, which is a lot more top-line thinking that, you, as I said, you're playing the long game. So consistency in execution, tone of voice, language, visual representation, distinctive brand assets, all of those things come into play. You've got to remember that most of the time your market, whatever market you're in, the majority of them aren't in a place to be buying from you at that particular point in time. No. But being consistent with your how your brand is expressed, being consistent with tone of voice, et cetera. They're all critical so that when that time comes, when they are looking to purchase, you're already front of mind. And if you're at front of mind, you're winning far more times than you're not against your competitors, irrespective of budgets, et cetera.
So, Paris, the last few years have been really challenging for all professional services firms. What have been the key learnings that you're taking forward?
Oh my God. Well, look, that's the understatement of the year, isn't it? There's the last 5 or 6 years or whatever, it's been amazing, hasn't it? Can I use a word that gives me the heebie-jeebies from the COVID era, pivot? I hate using that word, but I think it's been really important. I think, you know, you've got to be disciplined as a business, but you've also got to allow yourself to say, okay, well, if and when we need to pivot, what do those levers look like that we need to pull? I think that's been really key, you know, so pivot / flexibility, maybe flexibility is a word I can sit more comfortably with.
Well, you need to be very responsive to the market.
You need to be responsive.
Because the market is flexing.
It's unbelievable.
And changing.
Yeah. And look, all our clients, too, right? It's not just my business. It's my clients' businesses that are all in the same boat.
Exactly.
And that's what we have to be empathetic, but understanding and also being able to help them navigate the challenges that are here today, hopefully gone tomorrow, but they might last a bit longer than that. There's definitely a level of accountability. So you've got to say, well, look, if you're going to invest with us or whoever it might be, there's got to be, okay, well, if I am, what am I going to get in return? What am I going to see? What does that actually look like? And I guess the other thing too, it probably has been something I mentioned earlier, is not every opportunity will be the right opportunity. And it's easy, times are tough to just grab it and run with it because the reality is a commercial reality. It brings some funds in or whatever it might be. That might be more detrimental to the long term of your business than the short term.
Yeah, look, totally agree. All revenue is not created equal from the value that it actually provides to you.
Absolutely, yeah. And look, I think another one too, some setbacks or challenges can be a blessing because it makes you stop and think and, you know, take a bit of a helicopter approach, look at your business, look at your market, look at your category, look at other markets in other parts of the world, et cetera, to take learnings from, to say, well, what can we do? What don't we do? And I think that's really important too. So being open-minded, being flexible, understanding that you are a middleman to someone else and you need to be able to demonstrate a level of flex in challenging times. I hope they end.
They won't.
But they won't.
The only thing that's guaranteed.
Yeah, I know,
and,
right. Yeah.
And I guess
factors, you know, and challenging times, the new one.
I come back to a dear friend of mine who was my swimming coach many years ago when she was trying to help me swim in a straight line, and with a degree of panache, a word that's not often used to describe me in a swimming pool. But she said, if you're changing something and it doesn't feel uncomfortable, then you actually haven't changed anything.
Haven't changed a thing. Yeah,
and
right.
These are turbulent times. We've got them on many different dimensions and they've been going on for nearly half a decade now. I think that the discomfort we feel is because things are changing and that we're doing things differently. And our choice is to want to revert back to the way it was or accept that it's not ever going to be the way it was. And the best we can do is to work carefully and closely with our clients, be empathetic to the experiences and the challenges that they're facing, and put forward our best work yet to help them with these challenges.
Look, I don't think we're ever going to return to the past. I think those days are well and truly over. So, yes, having that level of being constantly uncomfortable is you need to start getting comfortable with it.
I think so. If you really want to kick off your strategic planning and work in a supportive environment with other CEOs and leaders, the CEO Masterclass in Strategic Planning and Implementation is for you. This 10-month small group course helps you craft your strategic plan, present it to a group of peer investors, and develop a habit of monthly implementation. Our waitlist is open now at criticalfewactions.com.au.
And Perez, what do you see as the future direction of Fluid?
Well, as I said, look, we're very much still a strategically led agency. I don't see that changing anytime soon. I hope it even we get sharper at it and more clients jump on board. There's still a lot of businesses out there that want simple execution work, irrespective of the AI discussions and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, it's people, I just need X. It's like, well, that's not what we do. Our business is very much about the thinking up front and the creative is the expression of that. That said, we're an agency that has adopted AI.
Yeah. And you're doing some pretty innovative things there.
Well, they're not all public yet, but we're working on some tools that will definitely be complementary to our current business offerings, whether that's our strategic-led work, whether it's internal in operational stuff. We are adopting it. We're very conscientious of not using too much for client work for all the obvious issues, challenges, copyright, et cetera, for them. But definitely from a tools perspective, we are definitely embracing it. And we'll be better for it, I have no doubt, ahead of the game rather than trying to catch up, because once this horse is dead, well and truly bolted. So we need to stay ahead of the curb on all of that.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
And the other thing I would probably say, and this has been a bit of a strategy of mine, is to not necessarily have as big a, longer client list and work with clients that actually want that thinking, that approach, that service, that offerings that we're talking about regularly. You know, we don't have to, you know, there's a lot of companies now with in-house agencies. We're very complementary to that. Again, a lot of that's playing in the executional space. So yeah, it's about being sharp at what we do, knowing that we're very clear on that, being attractive to other companies that actually want that value brought to their own business.
Yeah, look, I think you're absolutely on the right track there. Being everything to everybody is a fool's errand. Yeah.
Yes, swimming business problems, not just delivering on outputs. And that's, as I said, still the outputs is part of what we do, but it's not just like, hey, give me that. We need to be thinking things from a very brand central point of view. That's obviously got to be complementary to the bigger business, broader business strategy.
Absolutely.
Are you looking to pinpoint the areas that will make the biggest impact on your business? Check out the Organisation Performance and Value Diagnostic. This powerful tool lets you evaluate your business on multiple facets and provides email reminders to keep you on track. Head over to criticalfewactions.com.au and get started now.
So, Paris, you've worked with me over the last 6 months using the OPV Diagnostic to assess the business and focus in on those critical few actions.
Yep.
But you did nothing else would move the needle. How have you found our mentoring discussions and how did the OPV help you?
I've enjoyed it immensely, to be fair. For me personally, I reached out to you because I was seeking another point of view, an independent. someone that I felt I had a good rapport with, but also looking at what I needed to do in order to maintain the business at the level that I wanted to keep it at. You've helped me by prioritizing, or it's not doing everything, not trying to do everything. Focus on the three or four things that are important to the business in the short term, the here and the today, but also looking at what needs to be part of the focus and the discussions for the longer term. I've really enjoyed that level of independence. You don't beat around the bush. I think that's a really important part of it. You know, we're all too busy. We haven't got time to be speaking with yes people or anything like that. We want people to just say, hey, make me accountable. Give me a direction and a path that is, you know, suitable for me and my own needs and my own objectives. And yeah, look, I've, as I said, very much valued, particularly the deprioritization. We're only a small, nimble business, and I'm one of a few that wear many hats. And sometimes you get caught up in the weeds, as they say, and you need to just take that step back. And yes, reaching out to you is definitely a worthwhile investment in time and money. And so far, I've enjoyed it immensely, and I'm a believer in it, and look forward to the next 6 months to see what we can deliver in that time frame as well and solidify some of the things that we've agreed upon.
I think one of the things that I would say that you've done as part of that process really well is, despite the fact that you're in a small, agile, nimble business and you are wearing multiple hats, you've had the discipline, the self-discipline, to actually carve time out from business as usual to look at the strategic and the important, and really worked at that and held yourself accountable to that, you know.
Yes.
And I think that's that 5X's, the outcomes that you get from that, because you're independently working at that process all the way through. It's not just okay, I'm seeing John tomorrow. Stuff done.
No. Well, look,
so I certainly applaud you for that.
My weekly calendar, just, you know, an hour here, an hour there, just to keep things up to speed, make it part of my discipline of my week or my month, put in some reporting documents in play that, you know, you update figures just, again, just to track progress or otherwise of where things, you know, because it's important to be able to have that, a good view of where the business is at any particular point in time.
Yeah.
So you make decisions accordingly.
Yeah. So if you were now going back in time and talking to your younger self, just starting out, what advice would you give young Paris?
Oh, my God. Well, given the state of play we're in, I'd maybe buy oil and crypto and gold and silver and just sit back and relax.
Tell yourself, you won't believe what's about to happen.
Yeah, this is going to happen. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Be a bit more focused. Again, I know I appreciate how hard that actually is, particularly when you're young and you're naive and you're green and you're stupid. But again, having a clear path, I think, is really important. It doesn't mean you have to stick to it 100%. Yes, you're going to have to veer, but having an understanding, what are you doing? What are you offering? What is your service? Why is it different? Why is it better? Why is it worse than anyone else around doing something similar? Don't just take the opportunities because they're there. And I think I've mentioned already, you know, really hard. That's very difficult to do.
Yes.
You look at any opportunity and you think, I'm just going to grab that and run with it. But it's okay to say no or hold yourself back from taking that. Back yourself, obviously, that goes without saying. You've got to have some confidence and belief in yourself and your team. That's crucial. Ask more questions.
Absolutely.
Ask more questions. I think that's key. And yeah, look, I use this saying a bit, don't get caught up in the smoke and mirrors. There's a lot of BS out there. There's a lot of people out there that are winging it, just like we all are to a certain degree, right? But having that discipline and that approach, and as I said, that path, and having a clear vision of what that looks like, not necessarily today, not necessarily tomorrow, but down the track, is really important.
Yeah, look, I think that's really insightful. And I guess probably the only things that I would add to that, Paris, is particularly with our younger selves, you know, trying to get a grip on what are your values, what are your personal values, and what's your personal why? What are you here to actually, what are you on the planet for? I think as you become a more experienced professional, those things become so much more important to you than when you're a 20-something-year-old and you're having a crack at everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's your values and your why that really help define you. Well, they do define you. And that's part of the package that any client is buying into. They're not just buying into the wisdom of I've done this in this sector for 20 years. It's actually who's the person behind the person.
Yeah.
And what do they bring to the party?
One thing I have learned definitely in my time is treat people well. You treat people well, they'll treat you well. And obviously the reverse to that is that comes back down to, as you said, your values and your trust, et cetera. But when you've got good people, you're working with good people, whether that's within your four walls or with the clients that you deal with on a daily basis, when it's all working and it's done with that level of transparency and we're all just trying to do the best we can and we all want to win, obviously, but winning is different for different people, and understanding that, working with them on that is really, as far as I'm concerned, is the foundation to all everything. I think, you know, we're in the people business, and if you've got the right people with you as part of your team, you know, you can do a lot. There's division or whatever you want to call it, then that's when there are issues and challenges that, and time and energy that doesn't need to be spent needs to be spent to address them. And it's much better to just avoid them altogether if you can.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And finally, Paris, if a CEO is looking to develop their business, based on your experiences, what critical few actions should they start tomorrow if they did nothing else?
As I've alluded to, I think it's having a clear proposition, understanding what it is you're offering, your why, your how, et cetera, particularly in the context of your marketplace. I think that's obviously critical. Again, building a great team bit by bit, not sort of just throwing it all out there. Don't try to do everything. Just share the responsibility and the task. Allow others to step up and hit their own home runs. Yeah, look, I keep going back to that whole trust and being relevant again. Really key, right? Don't be in a rush too, I think. Rome wasn't built in a day, so you're going to have to keep taking small steps along that path, and that's really important.
Well, that's where that consistency comes in, which is continuing to walk forward.
From a business development point of view, again, I think that's really important to find a rhythm to that. I think that, as you know, we're always caught up in delivery and whatever it is we're doing, but like that's got to be a constant part of your every day, every week, every month, whatever it might be. It's a continual. It doesn't matter what game you're in.
Yeah.
That's really key.
Yeah.
And if your brand obviously needs a bit of love and a bit of direction, well, you know where to come to help you get you back on track.
Fantastic. Well, on that basis, now, Paris has provided us with a Building Better Brands checklist that you can use to test whether your brand is fit for business, as well as some insights on what strong brands actually do for your business and some other resources. So don't forget to grab them from the show notes attached to this episode. As Paris says, brand is at its most powerful when it stops being treated as a presentation and starts being used as a tool for growth, for alignment, and for long-term value.
You're quoting me now. Wow, look at that.
Yeah. So, Paris, as always, it's been a delight to chat with you. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate it, John. It's good chat as always. Take care. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Critical Few Actions podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and grab the downloadables from the show notes. And if you found this episode helpful, I'd really appreciate it if you share it with your peers and your team. Stay focused and take action. The Critical Few Actions podcast, including show notes and links, provides general information only and is not individualized business advice, nor can it be relied upon as such. You must take responsibility for your own advice, decisions, and actions.